A Michigan dairy farm worker is the second person in the United States to contract avian influenza from a cow. This was announced this week, so now we have questions of, could the general public get it? Could this go human to human? Let's ask Dr. Natasha Bagdasarian, Chief Medical Executive for the state of Michigan. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
First question is, his only symptom was a conjunctivitis, so it was in his eye. That's interesting because his nasal swab was negative.
Yes, absolutely. And this is similar to what we saw with the first case where the initial case in Texas had conjunctivitis or eye inflammation.
So what does that mean? Like, what do you gather from that?
Well, there's a couple of things that we can take from that piece of information. The fact that the respiratory swab was negative is, in a sense, that's reassuring because that tells us that the likelihood of respiratory shedding is lower. But again, we have to be careful here that we point out we're only talking about two cases, and we're still learning about the transmission dynamics surrounding spread when it comes to these dairy exposures. And so we can't make a whole lot of conclusions after only two cases. But I will say that what's really reassuring is that even though we've had a whole lot of transmission among dairy herds across the United States, the fact that we have only seen two cases in humans this year is incredibly reassuring.
Doctor, the fact that this worker experienced only mild symptoms is kind of reassuring, but are there any lingering concerns about any potential long-term effects or complications from the exposure?
At this point, no. These were symptoms that were, as you mentioned, mild and self-resolved very quickly. So again, these are all signs that point to the fact that this is not becoming a human pathogen in a different way than what we have seen before. We know that there can be sporadic human cases with these H5 influenza viruses, and that's what we've seen. We've seen two sporadic human cases, but we haven't seen any evidence of sustained human-to-human transmission, which is, again, good news.
It is good news. But while medical professionals are saying we shouldn't worry, the CDC and HHS are moving forward with the development of vaccines, I guess, just in case. So, I mean, within that community, do they think this is possible? Do they think it is likely? Because it sure looks like they're getting prepared.
So I think it's always good for public health to be prepared before something is an emergency that shows up on our doorstep. And this case that we found here in Michigan really shows us that public health is doing its job and the infrastructure we built is working. So here in Michigan, we have been closely tracking this situation since we started seeing H5 influenza in dairy herds. We've been doing tons of surveillance and symptom monitoring, making sure that folks who work on farms were not having symptoms. We detected even this single case with very mild symptoms and then made testing available. And so all of those things were in place and detected this very mild case that otherwise could have been missed. And all of this shows us that public health is doing what it needs to do to keep people safe. But it's always better to be prepared and to have as much advanced warning of things changing as possible.
Dr. Bagdasarian, the Michigan Department of Agriculture says 18 dairy cow herds in Michigan have been infected. That's more than any other state. Should we be concerned about our food?
Well, you know, in terms of our food, there's also been a ton of testing done by the FDA and our federal partners on the safety of the milk supply, for example. So one of the things early on we wanted to make sure was that milk was safe for people to drink. And we know that pasteurization has a proven track record. It's been around for over 100 years and uses heat to kill bacteria and viruses. And testing has now shown that that pasteurization works against these types of influenza viruses too. So the safety of our milk supply has been tested and ensured and continues to be tested. We are also making sure that sick cows are removed from the general population and that their milk is not going into the dairy supply. So there are lots of measures in place to make sure that consumers are as safe as possible.
I understand, Doctor, too, the Michigan officials have been actively monitoring farm workers for symptoms. Talk about how, you know, about the surveillance efforts that are in place and how they helped identify this case.
Yeah, symptom monitoring has been a really key part of all of this. And I can't say it enough about how cooperative and collaborative the farm workers and farm owners have been. They have really worked with us in a really collegial way to make sure that no one has been getting sick. And we've been doing symptom monitoring with frequent check-ins with text messages. And that was how we picked up on this very mildly symptomatic case. And that allowed us to do early testing and, again, to find this positive conjunctivitis case. So this is really an example of, the relationships and the trust that we've established with this community and the work that we've done together to, again, ensure everyone's safety.
Yeah, in addition to obviously human safety, which is in your bailiwick, just slightly outside of it, this economically, this has been devastating for some Michigan farms. Herbrook's Poultry up in Ionia County, I think they had to put 6.5 million chickens to death because of this. And so it's affecting our poultry and perhaps even our dairy prices going forward. I mean, is this something that can be controlled? And to keep it from spreading from farm to farm?
Well, our colleagues in the agriculture industry and MDARD have been working really closely on biosecurity and making sure that the virus is controlled as much as possible. You know, it's the virus behaves a little bit differently in chickens than it does in dairy. The cows tend to recover, mm-hmm. so they may produce less milk for a period of time, but then they tend to recover. And with poultry, it tends to be a much more severe infection. And there have been many, many chickens that have had to be culled. So this does have impacts, and that's why it takes a whole of government approach, a whole of Michigan approach to really make sure that we are protecting people and animals.
6.8 million infected chickens, turkeys, pheasants, quail, ducks, geese, and guinea fowl across the state. That's a lot. So it's certainly a serious topic. Dr. Natasha Bagdasarian, Chief Medical Executive for the State of Michigan, thank you for your time and for keeping an eye on this for our public health.
Well, thanks for having me on today.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is.
But the milk's okay, they say.
Yeah.
They're being
what
hybrid.
About beef? What about
That's
hamburgers?
That was my other question.
Yeah. If you cook it, does it destroy it?
Probably.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, it's... And then these things can evolve, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we learned from COVID. The whole thing with COVID.
Yeah.
By the way, just kind of unrelated, totally unrelated. It looks like Graceland is safe for the moment.
They were looking about that.
Yeah, man. They were going to foreclose on Graceland.
Allegedly, Lisa Marie took a loan out that she didn't repay, but put Graceland as collateral.
Yeah, and her granddaughter, this is a huge fight in the family between Riley Keough, her granddaughter, who now I think has administrative control over the trust. I think Lisa Marie has been kind of frozen out because of some things like that.
Priscilla.
But, you mean Priscilla.
Priscilla.
Lisa
Sorry,
Marie
is
passed
away.
Yeah. But the daughter of Lisa Marie says that those documents are false, that she did not take out this loan. Yeah. So it's a huge fight.
But a big landmark for the folks
down
in Memphis.
On Graceland.
No.
Oh, come on. I
no.
want to see it.
I've never seen it.
Me
too. I want to see it too. That's on my bucket list.
Is it turbulent flying there? Because then I'm out.
I'll check the list. I'll check the list. When we return, going to be talking to our good friend Steve Courtney. The NFL is moving forward with some technology to make calling the game more accurate.
I have always thought this.
This is with AI. You know, we're seeing this with AI on other fronts, things like that. Will it make the game better, or will it just slow things down? Steve Courtney, indexed on JR Morning at 7:49.